Miss Cindy. Have a good time. The word deacon might elicit a particular image in your mind. I've heard more than one Christian comedian make joke after joke about church deacons. For some reason, deacons are the butt of these comedians' jokes. Ask any Baptist pastor to talk about their deacons, and you're in for a very fun conversation. Ask any deacon about their pastor, and you'll get the same. There are two biblical offices in the church: elder and deacon. Last week we looked at what Paul writes to Timothy regarding the office of elder. And now in verse 8 of 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul turns his attention to the other office in the leadership of the church, the deacon. We have a list of requirements of those who would be deacons. The requirements are listed right here in our text for today. So we see the requirements. The responsibilities aren't quite as clear. At least not as clearly laid out as those requirements of elders. So we're going to explore what it is the responsibilities of the deacon are this morning. Why deacons? Why not just have one blanket church leadership team? And a lot of churches function in this way. They'll have combined boards, elders, deacons, church members, all deciding everything together. The problem with that is that the Lord organized his church differently. It's not party rule. God didn't tell us to organize a church board. In one place, as I served, the leadership there was called the church cabinet. It all seemed way too political and presidential, reflective of the pastor's ego or something. I don't know. It was weird to say the least. From time to time, the senior pastor would say, "I've assembled the cabinet," like he had the launch codes or something. I don't know what he was thinking. There's a situation in Scranton, Barrett. Assemble the cabinet. All right, Elvin, I'll call them, whatever. The cabinet, I don't get it. The Lord ordained that elders lead the church, to give oversight, to shepherd, to teach and preach and pray. And he set forth deacons to serve and to help. We see this come about in the early church for a specific purpose. A group of seven men who would help the apostles. The apostles at that time in the church were functionally the elders of the church. These men, the seven men that they were to appoint, would help the elders, the deacons, by taking over a large portion of the service needs. This is what we read early on in the book of Acts, early on in the history of the church. Acts chapter 6 says this. It says, "In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews, that is the Greek Jews, among them complained the Hebraic Jews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, 'It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word.' This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Procurus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from," a little Lion King humor for you, okay, "Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They also presented them to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith." The apostles, elders, knew that it wouldn't be right for all of their time to be spent waiting tables, serving food to these widows. Some Bible translations take that and they paraphrase that waiting on tables to be handle the finances. The apostles, the elders, say it wouldn't be right for us to spend all of our time dealing with the finances of the church, waiting on tables. So they knew that they needed some help in meeting the physical needs of the members of the church. They realized that they could not, They could not neglect the ministry of the Word of God, so they had the church choose deacons so that they, the elders, could give their attention to two things, to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. This, Acts tells us, was pleasing to the group, and they presented these men, these deacons, to the apostles and the elders, and the result, did you see the result in there? The Word of God spread. Bottom line, when the church operates as it should, each person doing their own part, more people are reached with the gospel. More ministry happens. This is the goal. This is why we seek to do things as the Lord would have us, to do Bible things in Bible ways. That phrase, Bible things in Bible ways, is not just an ideal of the restoration movement. Doing Bible things in Bible ways works. It works. Imagine that. God's inspired book, inspired word, tells us how to do this thing called church. We don't trust our clever ways of operating. We trust in the Lord and follow his lead in his direction. If you have your Bible, and I hope you do, turn with me to 1 Timothy 3. And if you're able and willing, let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. 1 Timothy 3, starting in verse 8. In the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must be first tested, and then if there's nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, women are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be faithful to his wife, must manage his household and his children well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and a great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You can be seated. Let's notice, first of all, a repeated phrase in these verses. A good practice to adopt in your Bible reading is to read through the passage that you're studying a few times. Some say 7 to 10 times. And pay attention as you read through over and over. Pay attention to those words that are repeated. I didn't learn this until college, and it seems so simple. And it is simple. This practice alone, reading the passage over and over again and noticing repeated phrases, will make a huge difference in your Bible reading, your daily Bible study. There's a phrase at the beginning of verse 8, and then again at the beginning of verse 11. My Bible says, in the same way. Yours might say, likewise. In the same way, likewise. Paul was just writing the first part of 1 Timothy 3 about overseers, what we would call elders, describing the qualities and the characteristics of the spiritual leadership of the church. And then in verse 8, we have these words, in the same way. And then Paul discusses deacons. He writes about deacons, describing the qualities and the characteristics of those who would be deacons. And then in verse 11, we have these words, in the same way. And Paul discusses women. At verse 8, and then again at verse 11, Paul seems to be introducing a new facet of leadership in the church. He talks about elders, elders this, elders that. In the same way, deacons, deacons this, deacons that. In the same way, the women. What's Paul doing? Some think that he's just giving direction or mentioning the qualification of deacons' wives. Your Bible might even read, in the same way, their wives, or likewise, their wives. That Paul is talking about deacons' wives is a possibility. I'm not going to say it's not. There's people that disagree on this. But it's strange to me that Paul would talk about deacons' wives and say nothing about elders' wives. It's weird. And also, for your information, this might come up in Jeopardy sometime. It's one of those pieces of seemingly trivial information. The word their, T-H-E-I-R, if your Bible says their wives, there is not in the Greek text. The word for wives and women also is the same. So someone, as they translate this, make a choice. Some say it's wives. Some add the word there in there to make it say their wives. But really, it just says, in the same way, the women. Or in the same way, women. So what's Paul doing? I believe he is, under the inspiration and the power of the Holy Spirit, telling the church that both men and women can serve as deacons. I believe it's clear. That phrase, in the same way, seems to introduce a new group. Talks about elders in the same way deacons, and then after deacons, he says, in the same way, the women. In the same way seems to introduce a new group. Verse 11, specifically, that is women who are deacons. You could call them deaconesses, but I see no point in that, nor do I see a Greek word for that. My mom was referred to as a deaconess in the church while I was growing up. There were a group of them, women, deaconesses. I didn't think anything of it then. I was just a kid, and I was more interested in playing football on the front church lawn while they had the deaconess meeting than I was in what was going on in the deaconess meeting. I even have a scar to prove it. Justin Huckerty's tooth went right into my head, but that's another story. Bled all over the church. The good thing is they had ugly red carpet like most churches do. So it just blends right in. I didn't think much of it that my mom was referred to as a deaconess. But now it seems like that was, to me, just an arbitrary way of separating the men and the women who were doing the same job, who were occupying the same biblical position, fulfilling the same role in the church. My mom and those ladies weren't deaconesses. That's a word the church invented. They were deacons. They were, and rightly so. What seems clear from the text is that the women who would occupy this role, are given some qualifications, some characteristics they need to exhibit. Is this a hot take? Right, that's kind of the new thing, hot takes online, whatever. I don't even think this would qualify as a warm take. It's a biblical take, and a pretty conservative one at that. Here's my take. My understanding from the Bible is, whereas only men are to be elders, both men and women can and should serve as deacons. There's even one woman introduced to us specifically as a deacon. At the end of the book of Romans, Paul is listing off people, and he says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Kenchrea. A deacon. There it is. Some will say, yeah, but the word for deacon there can just mean servant. And that's true. The word for deacon and the word for servant are the same. That's what a deacon means. A deacon is one who serves. Various forms of the word for deacon appear in the New Testament about 100 times. Deacon might mean servant, where Paul names Phoebe in Romans 16, but deacon might just mean deacon. And I think it does. And from what we know about what the Bible says here in 1 Timothy 3 and of the other influential women in the early church. Paul, by the way, names 17 very influential women in the early church, women who served the church of God and were singled out for it. Phoebe and Lydia and all these amazing women serving the local church. When we see all of this, when the picture comes together, the case for women as deacons becomes even stronger. This we know. Elders and deacons are to work together, and they're to work together for the advancement of the good news about Jesus Christ. They're to work together to lead the church on mission. Two offices go together, elder and deacon. The introduction to Philippians, Paul and Timothy writing to the Philippians, they pair them together to the elders and deacons there. There is ample evidence and reason to believe that both men and women can and should be deacons in the local church. Again, our goal is to do Bible things in Bible ways. We are people of the book, this book. This is our only rule of faith and practice, this. Tradition and preference have a place in the church, but both are completely subservient to Scripture. In fact, we have to be willing to abandon tradition and abandon preference in favor of what the Bible says, in favor of the mission that God has for us. You understand? So as we discuss this morning, that was all introduction. Introduction's 20 minutes. The sermon's only another 60 minutes, so... As we discuss the role of deacon this morning, I want you to go ahead and picture in your mind both men and women occupying this role. Could you do that? Both men and women occupying this role. I'm not sure that there's ever been serving as official deacons in Rich Hill Christian Church, but Lord willing, there will be. because it's biblical. We're not concerned about what we've always done. We're very much concerned about what the Bible says. Does that make sense? I care very little about what happened 50, 60 years ago. I care some, but not near as much as I care what the Bible has to say and what the Lord would have us to do. So real quickly, let's go through the list of qualifications for deacons. First, Paul seems to state that deacons must have control of themselves. In verse 8, there's four words that seem to go together. These men and women are to be respectful, sincere, not indulging in much wine, not pursuing dishonest gain. These four areas, their behavior, their speech, their use of alcohol, their attitude toward money, these four express the idea that members of the diaconate, the deacon team, are to have control of themselves. In verse 11, Paul gives women who would serve a few guidelines. Again, all issues of personal control, worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, temperate, that is, clear-headed, and trustworthy. What's more, deacons should have control of their households. They should have an irreproachable home life. As we choose deacons, as the church thinks about and chooses deacons and presents them to the elders, the first question to ask is, are they in control of themselves? Are they in control of themselves? Secondly, deacons must hold orthodox convictions. They must have orthodox convictions. Verse 9 is, in my mind, the key verse where deacons are concerned. It says they must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must hold fast. Unlike the false teachers in Paul's day and in our day, who believe something other than the revelation of God, something other than the teaching of the apostles, something other than the gospel of Jesus Christ, deacons are to have a death grip on the things of the gospel, on the deep truths of the faith, and they're to live with a clear conscience. What's most important to church deacons are the deep truths of the faith. They must know these truths, found themselves on these truths, stake their lives on the deep truths of the faith. As we choose deacons, the most important question, I believe, is what do they believe? Are they men and women of faith and conviction? That's important. They must have orthodox convictions, and they must be tested and approved. Those who would serve have been assessed by the congregation and the elders, checking for the beliefs and the giftings necessary to serve in this role. It will be clear as we ask the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us using the word, not preference, not tradition, the word as our standard. It will be clear who among us should serve in this role, which men and which women should serve as deacons. It's not whoever I think might make a good deacon. It's who the Holy Spirit makes clear is to serve as deacons. Verse 13 tells us that deacons who deacon well, I kind of like that phrase, I'm proud of it, deacons who deacon well, it's a noun and a verb, deacons who serve well, servants who serve well, will earn two blessings. An excellent standing. This is among people in the church. And more importantly, much more importantly, an excellent spiritual standing before the Lord. And they will earn great assurance in their faith in Jesus Christ. That is confidence in the finished work of Christ, expressed in their joyous service to him. Now, I realize all of this talk last week and this week about elders and deacons can seem a little bit academic. I get that. It can seem like there's not much for us here in these verses. But here's the truth. This affects us all. This radically affects the life of the church. Who serves as deacons and who lead as elders? Some of you here this morning, looking out, some of you will serve, Lord willing, as deacons. Some of you currently do the work of a deacon and should be recognized for it and formally put in that position. We'll even make a name tag for you if you want, Deacon so-and-so. I don't know, maybe not. Further still, as the word deacon suggests, the call, and this is for all of us, this is where it moves from academic to application. The call is to serve. Christians, wait for it, serve. Christians serve. This is really basic, I know, but this is just a basic part of what it means to be a follower of Christ. The one who came to serve calls us to serve. This is the calling of all Christians. As Jesus taught his disciples, as Jesus taught us, he said that whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. The question is, how are you serving? In what capacity are you serving? How can you serve? If you aren't serving, that's something you need to fix, something you need to remedy. A Christian who isn't serving might just be a contradiction in terms. No. A Christian who isn't serving is a contradiction in terms. It is. It's an oxymoron. I'm a Christian, but I serve no one and nothing. I come to church as a spectator, and then I'm done. I'm out. A Christian who doesn't serve is a contradiction in terms. We are asking for people to pray about serving on the following teams. The first, it's not real creative, the title. It's just called the Serve Team. See, not creative at all. But its task is clear. This team will serve the members of this church and serve the community in physical and tangible ways. If you have the gift of service and the ability to serve physically, fixing, building, raking, shoveling, trimming, plumbing, wiring, painting, cleaning, this team's for you. The team that goes out and cut down the tree limbs and haul off those branches, that's this team. That's a way that you can serve. There's also the member care team. This team will focus on visitation and meals, hospital calls, cards sent out. This task, church, this task is far too big for any one person to do. And I have failed miserably. Hear me. I have failed miserably at trying to care for the members of this congregation. I have. This task has to be church-wide. It has to be. We need to care for one another. If your gifting is compassion, we need you to join this team and to reach out to the members of our own church when they're absent, when they're hurt, when they're sick. We'll be shifting the expectation, and this is important. This might be one of the more significant changes in the life of our church. We are going to be shifting the expectation from just a few people visiting and caring for one another, and we'll be moving to all of us, led by this team, by some deacons on this team, overseen by the elders. We're going to be moving to this, because it's not just, well, those people didn't visit me, or the pastor didn't visit me. It's absolutely impossible for one, two, or three, a handful of people to do this job. We all have to do this job. And the expectation that it's any less your job than it is my job, or any less your job than it is the elder's job, any less your job than it is the deacon's job, is just mistaken. The body has to care for one another, has to carry one another's burdens. There's also going to be a Sunday team. Those serving on this team will work together on what it is we do as we gather on Sundays. We're going to look at everything from the Sunday school hour to the worship hour. It takes a lot of people, a lot of teachers, a lot of volunteers to make everything happen on Sunday mornings. What's more, with the elders' guidance, we will be evaluating what we do and why we do it. And the last team that I'm going to mention here, there's certainly, if you see a need, here's the great thing. And let you in on a secret. If you see a need, fill it. Amen. Let me repeat it. If you see a need, fill it. Come and tell me. Come and ask for help. The minister's job, the elder's job, is to equip the saints for works of service. Equip the saints for ministry. So we will help in any way we can, but it's impossible for just a few people to do everything. If you see a need, if you see a vacuum, jump in and fill it. That's the Holy Spirit guiding you to do that task. I guarantee it. Amen. That, if you see a need, if you see a vacuum, that's an answer to someone's prayer that someone would do that task. So the last team I'm going to mention is this. Certainly not the last need of the church. The last team is the youth team. There's already a great, incredible core group of volunteers and leaders working with our youth, but we need more. We need those who are gifted at working with and teaching youth, those willing to spend time as sponsors and counselors. We need people willing to drive them to conferences and to events. We need people to spend a week with them at church camp. And that is a special calling. Not for everyone. Not really for this guy. I've aged out of being able to sleep on those bunks comfortably. So if that's you, if you can do that, we need you. We do. The church needs its members to serve. These are just a few of the service opportunities available to you. If you're not serving, Christian, if you're not serving in any way, it's time to start. It is. If you're serving already, let me say from the bottom of my heart, thank you. You don't get thanked enough for your service. I know that. Thank you. And keep it up. And just do so more and more. Not to earn anything. Not to earn anything. We don't earn our salvation by our works. Our works are the fruit of our salvation. The evidence of our salvation is that we would serve. Service is an expression of the love and devotion that we have for the one who saved us in spite of us. The call for the Christian is to serve. And the Lord places people to lead in service. And that's really what deacons are. Deacons lead the way in serving. Deacons are those men and women who lead the way in serving the Lord and his church. We could say, and it's kind of fun, to say that deacons deacon. Deacons deacon. We're all to serve the church. That's the call to all Christians. But deacons are those appointed to lead the church, to be leaders in service. They are leading servants. As we read in Acts 6, there need to be some who handle the physical matters, the financial matters, and others who devote themselves to prayer and preaching. The deacons take part of the load off of the elders, and they carry the burden while leading by example in the service of the church. Deacons lead the way in meeting needs according to the word. All of these needs will arise from specific circumstances. Not every church has a food bank or a clothes closet, but in those that do, there should be deacons who are leading others in service. Nearly every church will have, at some point, some of its members in nursing homes, in the hospital. I'm baffled. I have friends who are ministers, and I'll say, well, I'm visiting the hospital or going to the nursing home, and they say, we've not had anyone in the hospital or the nursing home for like 5 years. And I think, man, a healthy, what are they eating? Give us some of that water. But we need people. There should be deacons serving and leading others in service to go visit those people. And we can train you how to do that. Wanda Smith taught me how to do that. She took me around when I came here to all of our church members at the nursing homes and the hospital. And she said, you go in, and you visit for a little bit, and you pray, and then you leave without staying for too long. You don't need to stay for an hour, but you need to touch base. Yeah. Wanda Smith trained me in how best to do hospital visitation, nursing home visitation. So we'll help you do that, but someone has to do that, and deacons have to lead the way in doing so. Deacons support the ministry of the word. By freeing up the elders and the pastors from a lot of those areas of service, the elders and the pastors have more time to focus on prayer and preaching. So we'll be praying about and looking for faithful men and women, members of this local body, to step into the role of deacon, those who lead the way in service. As one commentator puts it, elders are servant leaders, deacons are lead servants. To serve the Lord by serving the church is the greatest calling there is. To serve the Lord by serving the church is the greatest calling there is. Whether it be as an elder, or shepherd, overseer, a deacon, or just a faithful member of Christ's church, there is nothing like it. Jesus himself, this is how important service is in the life of the church. Jesus himself, our Savior, applied the word for deacon to himself. He said, for the Son of Man, Jesus, did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many. Could there be any greater honor than to follow in Jesus' footsteps? If Jesus wasn't too big for his britches, if Jesus wasn't too important to serve, why should we think that we are? Could there be any higher calling than service to the King? The answer to that question is no, absolutely not. Like Jesus, to be like Jesus for the glory of Jesus as Jesus' people, let us serve. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for this church body. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Love you all.
In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus.